history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this amazing country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there really are seemingly ordinary Americans around you who have done extraordinary things, things we might not even be able to fathom, all for these United States of America and what it stands for. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And in taking that one-hour journey each time, we sure do learn a lot. We are educated, we're entertained. So often we are inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. And we are going to meet another World War II veteran in a bit, but today's program will be a little different as we learn about a ship that helps tell the story of so many veterans and so many aspects of life on an aircraft carrier. I trust that you had another memorable Thanksgiving, and one of the things that I'm so thankful for is the privilege of meeting so many remarkable veterans in just about every corner of our country. If you're a regular listener to Hometown Heroes, you've heard programs come your way from the homes of vets in just about every state, but also hallowed ground like the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., the USS Arizona Memorial in Hawaii, Bataan Death March Memorials in New Mexico, or museums like the Silent Wings Museum in Lubbock, Texas. I don't have time to go through the whole list of special places like that where so many veterans volunteer their time to pass on pieces of history, but I'm excited to add the USS Midway Museum to that list today. If you've been to San Diego in the last 10 or 15 years, surely you've seen the unmistakable outline of an aircraft carrier moored just below Broadway Pier. Not only is it a floating city, it is a living, breathing museum that millions of people have had the chance to visit. Over the next hour, we're going to meet three Navy veterans who spent a lot of their time on the Midway, which of course is named for that pivotal battle in World War II, which you've heard about on this program over the years from veterans who fought in it. We'll conclude in a bit with a 90-year-old World War II veteran who has an amazing story about a chance encounter on the Midway. But let's start with the Midway Museum's acclaimed historian and a man who's been involved in this project since long before the ship actually ended up here. Carl Zingheim was kind enough to give me a tour of the carrier's hangar deck and flight deck. I don't know where to start because this floating city has so many facets to it, and we're sitting here out on a little deck looking across that giant statue of the kissing sailor and nurse from Times Square in 1945. You ever get tired of coming out here and taking a look 360 degrees around this ship?
Oh, never. I mean, this ship has so much to offer, and the neat thing about this particular type of occupation is that every day is different. You don't know what's going to come up. And so it could be we'd have a VIP visit and you need some information, or we could have a school group come in as we often do. The nice thing about the Midway, and we've planned this from the beginning, is to try and have something for everyone. So it's not just a visit for the guys. And so the mainstay of our tour experience is our self-guided audio tour. It comes with admission, and you conduct yourself listening to a headset of various aspects of the ship. We try to provide a cross-section of the city at sea experience because Midway is virtually a floating, self-contained city, and it's also a warship, but it has a human element that you really can't disentangle from the steel of the ship. And so the nice thing about having the audio tours at your own pace, you're not stuck in a group of people that are being shepherded around one port or another. And the audio tour provides theater of the mind. It provides not only narrative, but it also has actual first-person interviews from the people who actually lived the experience on the Midway, as well as sound and musical effects. And so in addition to taking in the exotic world of an aircraft carrier that you could see and smell with your own senses, you can also take in the rest of the material and through the theater of the mind that our audio tour offers.
And it's so much more than just a ship. And maybe someone drives down on Harbor Boulevard here or something and sees the ship and like, oh, cool, an aircraft carrier. But I don't know if everyone realizes all the different things you can see on the ship. I mean, just for instance, how many different aircraft do you have on this ship, and what's the range of service as far as decades, the time period that these different planes flew?
Well, we are pushing 36 aircraft already. In fact, our latest one is going to be delivered on Monday after Thanksgiving. And so we have a range of aircraft that are consciously set to represent the Midway's period of operation. So we're more of a Cold War carrier because the Midway missed World War II by a month. And so she was literally right there at the beginning of the Cold War all the way to its very ending. She was decommissioned just after Operation Desert Storm. So the aircraft that we have are reflective of that. So you'll have everything going back to World War II type aircraft like the F-4U Corsair or TBM Avenger or even an SNJ trainer, which was used on carriers at the time as a personal liaison aircraft or a light transport. So everything from the propeller era at the tail end of World War II up through the latest combat types that were seen on the flight deck, such as the EA-6B Prowler and the F-18 Hornet.
And what's the new one that's coming in?
We're getting a rare mid-1950s North American FJ Fury. So it's great to be able to fill in that gap. It's a little tough to find that in-between 50s era stuff between World War II and Vietnam. So it's wonderful that we could get a vintage aircraft from the era when swept wings were starting to be adapted for fleet use, and it's kind of about the halfway point in the development of transitioning into jet aviation for aircraft carriers.
Of those three dozen aircraft, do you have a personal favorite that you enjoy walking past here?
Well, I've always been partial to the F-4U, and the nice thing about the F-4U's delivery was that we accidentally had an event going on that actually had a live band. And so the aircraft was duly craned aboard from a barge. We have a restoration facility at Naval Air Station North Island, which is just across the channel. And so the aircraft was barged aboard, and we just happened to have a popular group playing ROCK in the USA as this war-winning aircraft from World War II was craned right on board. It's also neat, too, with that bent wing it has, that when the wings are up, it's kind of like an aircraft flexing its muscles.
Too bad you didn't have a big screen playing Black Sheep Squadron at the same time or something, right?
Well, we'll think we'll get that right the next time.
Pappy would be proud, no doubt. And you mentioned that this carrier, its own service history started right after World War II. But in so many ways, you've become a vehicle that tells the story of World War II, not just through veterans who are docents here, but the name of the ship, the Midway, a pivotal battle in World War II, and a lot of events. I think an annual event here to recognize the Battle of Midway. What have you seen from those events as far as the impact it has in telling that story to probably a lot of people who had never heard it before?
Well, one misconception we have to correct is to let people know that, no, this ship did not fight in the Battle of Midway. It's actually named for the action. To help bring that story back to life, we do have a holographic cinema that's specially constructed in our forward hangar bay that encapsulates what was at stake in that pivotal battle in 1942, as well as some displays out in front that provide a little more graphic detail about the action and the forces involved and such. So what's really nice about that approach is that between the conventional graphic presentations outside and the unique holographic experience on the inside is that you're really covering as many different aspects of the human nature of that action as we could possibly put in a brief period of time.
And I know you welcome from time to time guys who were involved in that battle, that were on aircraft carriers at Midway, maybe that flew in dive bombers at Midway, that saw the destruction, the explosions, the gunfire, the death, all of that. What have you gleaned from that? And if you had to encapsulate the significance of Midway here on the ship that bears its name, how do you explain that to somebody who says, well, what was the Battle of Midway?
Probably what would set Midway apart from other significant actions that had consequences afterwards, and I certainly see this with the people who attend, particularly the veterans of Midway who attend the annual Battle of Midway commemorations, is that individual actions still matter. At Midway, a lot of things could have gone one way or another had a decision been made going one way or the other. For example, we had a torpedo squadron commander who disobeyed a directive on what direction to fly with his opinion that he had a better idea where the Japanese actually would be. Tragically, he was proven correct, and his squadron went in completely unsupported. But he made that decision. Then we've got others where a dive bomber pilot who was leading a squadron was trying to set up for an attack, but the entire group leader, who was actually a fighter pilot, decided, everyone follow me. And before he knew it, two entire squadrons are piling in on his target and completely ignoring another one, right nearby. So he broke off his attack, formulated a new plan in the middle of the action, and delivered an improvised attack on the other carrier. So these are really instances where the split reactions or the brave decisions, regardless of the consequences that individuals can make in time of distress or in time of combat, can really come to the front. And what's strange about Midway is that it seems to be an action of consequence where the individual decisions really did matter.
And have you gotten a feel over the years in interacting with those gentlemen who were there, what it means for them to have this here, that they can come back to a ship named the Midway and see each other and relive those moments and understand the significance and everything that would have been different had they not prevailed in such dramatic fashion there?
Well, we certainly get that from the Midway veterans themselves, and that could be completely understandable. But what's remarkable about what you've just expressed is that it seems to cut across all the generations, all the people who served in carrier aviation over the decades that we've been blessed to host on board for various events. So this is actually a sentiment of service and dedication and, frankly, skill in a demanding profession that cuts across the boundaries of time and of the generations. And so we see that, of course, with the Midway veterans and the rest of the World War II veterans. But it also applies as much to the people who fought in Korea, to the people who flew routine missions at night and during the Cold War, the Vietnam veterans, all the way up through Desert Storm veterans we recently hosted on the ship. So those are sentiments, actually, that I have seen myself that really cut across the generations and apply to everyone who's been called upon to serve.
And you mentioned the holographic situation there. You also have some flight simulators here where people can get a feel for what it's actually like to fly one of these planes?
Even though we've got museum in our name, we're not strictly a place of static exhibits and dry displays and maybe a few people who talk about things. We've got much more to offer than that to our community here in San Diego. We have full motion flight simulators that you can actually pilot as you're flying a mission profile with the ability to actually loop and roll while someone's shooting at you. So you've got at least a partial example of what it was like to fly missions in World War II, thanks to that technology. We also, of course, have the holographic cinema. We have interactions with people who are thoroughly trained and qualified on what they're talking about here on the Midway. So you can actually get a live first-person discussion with someone who actually was doing the job on the Midway. And, of course, the spaciousness of an aircraft carrier offers a unique venue right here in the harbor with a magnificent view for things like after-hours parties or special sporting events. And so this really shows that even in her retirement, the Midway is a versatile instrument.
Well, that takes a lot of manpower to pull all this off. How do you guys do that? How do you find enough people to make this ship run and stay open for people all over the world to come visit?
Well, we do have a modest staff, but really what makes the magic happen here on the Midway is having a dedicated core of hundreds, literally hundreds, of volunteers from around the region. Not all of them are San Diegans. Some actually drive considerable distances here to come in and devote of their own time willfully and giving of their own skill and education and experience to help enhance the guest experience here on the Midway. So while we could operate completely with the paid staff, the remarkable thing is that it's not necessary, especially in a community like San Diego, where we have people who are already dedicated to this line of work, or this way of life. And so we are able to benefit from all these shared experiences and the generosity of these people who volunteer. And it's not just necessarily being a docent. We have a magnificent docent corps. They are also supplemented by volunteers who work behind the scenes, who work in restoring spaces, who work in doing refabrication of equipment. We also have people who work in the exhibits department, and we have people who work with guest services. So the neat thing about that is that we have a broad appeal for all kinds of talent bases that could lend themselves to our mission.
You know, I couldn't help but think, as you were describing the full motion flight simulators, if you have personally witnessed any of those World War II or Korean or Vietnam veterans who flew planes during the war going into one of those simulators, and then stepping out and sharing a review. Have you gotten a taste of any of that? I'm just curious what they would think of it.
Maybe not the way you describe it, but we do have some people who have had some experiences with that, and they say, well, it kind of gives you a taste of what it's like. So there's nothing that really compares with the real thing. And you know what? As far as a simulation is concerned, I'm satisfied with that. If it comes where it's just an introduction, then it's really done a fine job.
Yes, simulators, thankfully, are not a life or death proposition. And they're just part of the appeal of the USS Midway Museum in San Diego. It's time for our first break, but we're going to have more from this amazing aircraft carrier when we come back. We'll meet two of the docents who volunteer their time aboard ship. And if you want to learn more, go online to midway.org or link to that website through hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, where I have some photos of the ship and the men we're meeting today. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.